part of this may sound familiar, but part of it, the vast majority of it, probably doesn't. And it simply says, not like the brazen giant of Greek fame, with conquering limbs astride from land to land. Here at our sea-washed sunset gate shall stand a mighty woman with a torch, whose flame is imprisoned lightning, and her name, Mother of Exiles. From her beacon hand glows worldwide welcome, her mild eyes command the air-bridged harbor that twin cities frame. Keep, ancient lands, your storied pomp, cries she with silent lips. Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free. The wretched refuse of your teeming shore, send these, the homeless, tempest-tossed to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door. Now that last part probably gave it away for almost everybody in here. Emma Lazarus wrote the poem that actually sits at the base of the Statue of Liberty. This statue that really, for the French and Americans who at the time decided that they would put it in New York's harbor, it really stood for them as a second Colossus. In fact, the title of Emma's poem is The New Colossus. For there was this ancient monument that stood at the front of an ancient harbor, welcoming everyone who was there. And so they said, we want something like that to stand at New York Harbor. And so they created this new colossus that we call the Statue of Liberty. And so I started thinking about this poem, and in particular, these words that speak to those who aren't always deemed welcome. Those who from time to time might feel or wonder or ask themselves questions that really make them say, am I actually welcome there? So this Sunday, back to church Sunday, this Wednesday, or this weekend, excuse me, back to church weekend, believe it or not, for us as believers in Jesus Christ, stands in many ways in the same kind of frame that we this weekend ought be saying to ourselves, or we ought to be reminding ourselves and saying to others, you are welcome. That this is absolutely a place where, without regard to who you are or who you've been, you are welcome. But let's be honest, just in the same way that statue stands at New York Harbor, and we can have some of the division we see going on in our country, we can sit on a Sunday morning and sing songs of worship and praise. We can sit in church on a Sunday morning and glorify God, while at the same time making those who would absolutely have desire to be amongst us feel unwelcome. So here's the truth. The truth is that God, because of his grace, sees us, actually, he sees everyone made new. When God sees you or God sees me, he doesn't see us because of our sin. God sees us in the future. God sees us the way that he has actually, I almost said, recreated us, because we are new creations in Jesus Christ. But here's the problem. We, because of sin, see ourselves and others as unworthy, as failing or faltering. We see ourselves and we see others as in need of help. You got to do something else in order to be redeemed and be made worthy. So let me say it this way. It's our lens, the way we see things, that makes us make others believe that they are outsiders. Now, I don't know about you, but I can say this. The church hasn't always been the most welcoming place in the world. Amen. I don't know about you, but there have been some places that I've gone and I've actually had to ask myself after I left, did they ever really want me there? And so I need you to understand that that's what Back to Church Weekend, that's what Back to Church Sunday is about. And we are one of thousands of churches around the country right now who are saying, listen, it really doesn't matter what your last experience in church was about. I'm glad you're here today. It really doesn't matter what kind of church hurt you may be dealing with. I'm glad you're here today. I know you may have given up on church and, more importantly, given up on church folk, but don't give up on God. I'm glad you're here today. So we've heard the truth. We've heard the problem. Now, here is the reality. The reality is that the church has always been a place where outsiders are supposed to be welcome. I know for some of y'all, it's been a minute. You ain't been an outsider in church in a minute. You've been the one looking at other folk like, but believe me, there was a time when you asked yourself, am I supposed to be here? I remember a time when we right here in this church, and I know sometimes we think we didn't come so far and we so holy, but I remember a time, and there might be some who remember that as well, when somebody, the door would open and everybody at the same time would turn around and see who it was. And if it was somebody we didn't recognize, you wouldn't turn back around. In other words, if Pastor Doris walked in the church and she happened to open that door, it was before we oiled it, and the door might creak, everybody would turn around. And when they saw it was her, they'd turn back around and mind their business. But if you were somebody we didn't recognize, I remember one Sunday in particular, I had to say, y'all turn back around and look at me. Y'all staring at them so hard that I can tell you they ain't never coming back to this place again. We can make people feel in the place where they're not supposed to feel like outsiders. We can make them feel like outsiders. There's a text I want to read this morning, and it comes from Ephesians chapter number 2, as we talk about a place to belong. Beginning at verse number 19 in Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus, and reading from verse number 19 in chapter 2. It says this: so now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. I love that part right there. With all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family. Together, we are his house, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, and the cornerstone is Christ Jesus himself. We are carefully joined together in him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. Through him, you Gentiles are also being made part of this dwelling where God lives by his Spirit. Now, this letter that Paul writes to this church, and if you are someone who attends Wednesdays in the Word, you've heard this letter that Paul writes to this church at Ephesus. Paul is writing because they're having some issues. See, there's a brewing division in the church, and really it comes on the heels of what it is we're talking about this morning. There are those in this church that is made up mainly of Gentile believers who are saying to those who are Jews, wait a minute, you know, God had to leave y'all for a minute and come to us so we might just actually have a better position in the kingdom of God than you do. And so one of the overriding themes that Paul has in this letter to the church at Ephesus is the notion of unity. But before I can begin to talk to you about being unified, Paul says, I really need to break it down and let you know actually who you are. And so that's where I begin this morning. The first thing we need to understand is that we need to remember that it was our sin that made us outsiders in the first place. That there's not a person in this room today, I don't care if you're standing up preaching or if you're sitting as far as you can from the pulpit right now, there's not a person in this room today who does not have that as their issue. That there was a time in your life where you yourself were considered, hear me, by God, an outsider.
and you needed some help. Now, I don't know everybody's lineage. I don't know who everyone in here's mother or father was, but I can tell you that according to Mosaic law, unless your mother was Jewish, you're not counted as the seed of Abraham. Because your mother being Jewish is what made you Jewish. So unless you can actually say that, everybody in here has to say that at one time or another, I myself was a Gentile. I was someone who by God, because of the law of Moses, would have been considered an outsider. And let me make it a New Testament thing for you. Even if you were, we all have fallen short of the glory of God. We all have the stain of sin in our lives. And so everybody in here, without regard to your heritage, you were an outsider. Watch this. Chapter 2, beginning at verse number 1, same letter, the book of Ephesians, it says, once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. Read it again. Once you were dead, once you were an outsider, once you were separated from God, once you were apart from the love and familial relationship with God, once you were dead. Why? Because of your disobedience and your many sins. You used to live in sin, just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us, everybody say all of us. That means you. All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger, just like everyone else. See, every now and again, Paul understood. You got to remind church folk that you ain't been in church all your life. Every now and again, you've got to make it clear to everybody who believes that the pew has always been their home that you ain't grow up here. That you got some things on your record that you believe other folk may have forgotten about, or you at least hope they did. Paul had to tell these believers at Ephesus the same thing, because they were beginning to look at church as a closed society. They were beginning to look at church as a clique or a club, something you got to pledge your way into. And what he had to get them to understand is, you ain't always been holy. There was a time when you yourself were separated from God. Look at verse number 11 and verse number 12. Same book, same chapter. Don't forget. I love that, right? If you'd allow me to use what will be the forthcoming Griffin paraphrase in about the year 2066. He said, don't get it twisted. Lest you forget, I know who you are. He says, don't forget that you Gentiles used to be outsiders. Y'all who are sitting in the pews now, you who count yourselves deacons and preachers and worship leaders, don't forget that you used to be outsiders. Don't forget that you're teaching in Sunday school now, but you yourself used to be an outsider. You yourself used, what, in other words, why are you looking at them so crazy? Don't forget it wasn't so long ago that you was out there on the stroll too. Don't forget it wasn't so long ago that you had a nickname that you don't want nobody to call you in church no more neither. Raise your hand. Right? Don't forget. Watch. You think I'm joking. Watch. Look at the verse. He says, don't forget that you Gentiles used to be outsiders. You were called. Your nickname used to be uncircumcised heathen. Now, that's a nickname for you right there, right? You were called uncircumcised heathens by the Jews, who were proud of their circumcision, even though it affected only their bodies and not their hearts. In those days, you were living apart from Christ. You were excluded from citizenship among the people of Israel, and you did not know the covenant promises God had made to them. You lived in this world without God and without hope. The first thing we have to do is remember that sin is what made us outsiders. We can't sit in church and say, now I've made it, and forget that once upon a time, I myself was apart from God. I myself was an outsider. Because when I remember where I came from, it affects the position I hold where I am. I can't look at nobody else crazy. Because I know that except for the grace of God, except for God loving me more than I love myself, except taking somebody who was at the same time blind, crippled, and crazy, I would still be out there doing dirt. Remember that sin made you an outsider. Second thing, the church has always been a place for outsiders to feel welcome. We kind of getting this one messed up sometimes, y'all. But the church has always been a place for outsiders to feel welcome. The reason I read that poem at the beginning is because they're written by the chains. You really can't see it, but the Statue of Liberty, there is a broken chain at the bottom of the statue, representing the freedom and liberty that was supposed to be open to all who entered New York Harbor and saw that. Come on. In the same way, when somebody drives onto the parking lot, parks their car, cracks those doors, and enters the sanctuary, we ought in the same manner be saying to them, your chains in this place can be laid down and broken. Here you are welcome without regard to who you used to be. See, the church has always been a place where the outsider is supposed to feel welcome. Jesus said, send me the folk you don't want. I ain't come for the people who think they got it all together. I only came for those who know I need something different in my life. Watch. Chapter 2, verse number 13. He says to the Gentiles, but now. See, remember 11 and 12. 11 and 12, he said, don't forget who you used to be. Don't forget what you used to have going on. Don't forget the nickname you used to go by. Don't forget how everybody used to know you. He says, but now you have been united with Christ Jesus. Once you were far away from God, but now you have been brought near to him through the blood of Christ. So as I remember that I used to be separated, as I remember how I used to be viewed, hear me, as I remember how I used to view myself, but God's grace has brought the one who used to be far from him near to him. I can say to anybody who comes in here, I don't care what your wrestle is. I used to have my own and still got a few. But God's loving grace is greater than any issue I have in my life. And I've got to be welcoming to you because this is the place for outsiders. Ephesians 2 and verse number 10. He says, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. So he says, listen, I know who you were. He said, but what you need to understand is God doesn't see you that way. God sees you because of your relationship with him through his son, Jesus Christ, and the blood he shed on our behalf on that cross at Calvary. I now see you anew. See, you might see your life as a jumble of mess. You might see your life as the mistakes that you have made, but I see you as my masterpiece. I see you as the road that I have drawn out as a map for those who might follow you, the road from who you were to who I am recreating you to be. And I've done all of that for my glory, that I might be able to use you. There's some stuff I need you to do. There's some things that were in your life, some stuff about you that somebody else needs to hear. And so you need to let me do in you what I'm doing in you so that when other folks see it, they understand that it's only by the grace of God you are welcome. Sin made me an outsider, God brought me near to him because of his grace. And this place, and I'm not talking about the building, I'm talking about this relationship, this place. I'm not talking about the locale, I'm talking about our collective gathering together as believers in Jesus Christ, that thing that makes us the church. This place is the place that has always been designed, that whoever you are, you can come. Whatever your sin, you can come, because God will get it right in you. He sees your struggle and loves you anyway. He knows where you're hurting and broken, and he's got a spot for you anyway. Now understand, sin separates, but love still draws, because that's who God is. So first, we got to remember, sin made us an outsider. Second, we have to remember that the church has always been the place for outsiders to feel welcome. And the last thing, your relationship with God may be personal, but it isn't private. I'm gonna say that again. I wrote it in good English, I'm gonna say it in bad English. Your relationship, not your, your relationship with God may be personal, but it ain't private. What do you mean? Because see, we as believers kind of sometimes believe that this is an individual endeavor. Yeah. Right? I pray when I want to pray. I come to church when I want to come to church. I do what I want to do. I got a gift. I share if I want to share. Your relationship with God is personal. Hear me. He loves you. But when he called you, he called you to be part of us. So understand, once you said, Jesus, I need you in my life, once you said, I want to be a believer, you still have a deeply personal relationship with God, but it ain't private. Because as you heard me say before, church is never singular. Church is always plural. Whenever God talks about the church, he ain't talking about me. He's not talking about you. The church is always we, us. And so I can have a personal relationship with God, but I need to always understand that who I am in Jesus Christ not only affects, but makes me part of everything else and everybody else that considers themselves a believer in Jesus Christ. Hear me, whether they go to Harvest or not. Chapter 2, verse number 19. Watch. So now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family. I'm going to stop right there and ask you a real simple question. It's rhetorical. Do citizens have responsibilities as part of whatever unit they are a part of? Do family members have responsibilities? Come on, y'all. Every one of y'all talks about that one family member who think they all that, right? Every time everybody else getting together, they don't never want to come around. They think they better than everybody else. I remember when you were, right? Everybody got that one. Never want to come to the reunion. We going on a cruise, they too bougie. They do Royal Caribbean. Y'all going on Carnival. We don't do Carnival. Right? Tell the truth. Y'all laughing because it's true. We got church folk like that. But what God said is, understand, you are no longer on the outside. You are no longer a stranger. I tell folk that all the time. You come to Harvest once, you a guest, not a stranger. You come back, it's over. You a member, you just don't know it yet. So if this your first time, this the free one. You got one more. It's love. Why? Because God said, I'm still working on all y'all. There are none of you who are perfect, hear me, but you're being perfected by your relationship with me. And watch this. If you make that private, your progress stops. See, my relationship with him is always personal, but when I make it private, when I isolate myself from the rest of the group, it allows the enemy to use those things that are hidden but not gone to draw me away from the very source of my transformation and strength. And so it's important that I recognize that, yes, I was an outsider, but now I'm family, and everybody got crazy family. But you love them anyway. So the last thing we have to understand, first, it was sin. It's sin that makes folk outsiders. Now watch this. We have grace. So if I don't look at somebody who considers themselves an outsider and extend to them the grace that was extended to me by God that makes me no longer an outsider, I'm in sin. Because this is the place where outsiders are supposed to be welcome. How can they get right and not be in? You don't get right out there. You get right in. So yes, I understand you are deep in it. Come on. I understand you still struggling with it. Come on. I understand every now and again you might even fall back in it. Come on. Watch. Because some of y'all doing it and we just don't know it. Right? So, okay. That's a Wednesday night thing. We used to all be outsiders. This is the place for outsiders. The reason folk leave the church hurt is because I got an issue. I came to the place that I read, y'all sang all these songs about my healing and this love of Christ, and when all of a sudden you saw my brokenness, you judged me. And I said, well, Lord, Pookie and them knew I was crazy, and they showed me love. Y'all talking about God is love. I came with my broken left arm and my fractured heart, and you told me, go get right. Go get right where? Right. So if the outsider ain't welcome in church, where do they go? Because I'm going to get love here. Verse 20. Together, we are his house, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, and the cornerstone is Christ Jesus himself. We are carefully joined together in him. If we are carefully joined together in God, how can my relationship with him be private? How can you separate yourself from me? If we are carefully joined together in God and I try to separate myself, the verse that comes to mind is what God has joined together. Let no man tear asunder. How can I separate what God has joined? If you are a believer, I have to love you. With every quirk you got, I have to love you. Even when you have slipped and fallen, I have to love you. Watch, because my expectation, my desire is when it happens to me, you'll be there to extend the same kind of love.
So I'm gonna end. I just want to say a couple things. The first is, you belong here. Period. I don't care what your past is. You belong here. This is the place to belong. Nobody's perfect. We're all dependent upon the grace of God to recreate us. See, I don't want to do it. I wish I had time to go into Romans chapter 7. But y'all know the book and the chapter. I don't want to do the stuff I do. In fact, the stuff I do is the very stuff I don't want to do, Paul says. So much so that the stuff I want to do, that's the very stuff I had a trouble doing. And the stuff I don't want to do, that's the stuff that seems to come easy.
So much so that when I find myself doing the stuff I don't want to do, I got to throw my hands up and say, you know what? It ain't even me doing it no more. It's the sin that's in me. And if I don't have a place to go where I belong, I might find myself like Paul at the end of Romans 7 saying, oh, wretched man that I am. How am I going to get out of this? Okay, that's Griffin paraphrase. But Paul says, what or who will deliver me from this body of death? You belong. And it doesn't matter. This is home. You are family. Watch. Because if you're family to God, then you're family to us. If God calls you daughter, I call you sister. If he calls you son, I call you brother. That's what this weekend is about. And what we need to understand is that it's not just a weekend for us. This is where God expects us to live every day. Somebody's going to walk out of here tomorrow and walk out of here today and walk into a situation tomorrow where you're going to have to live out the words that have been spoken in our hearing today, where you're going to be the only Bible the person in front of you has access to in the moment, that you might be the first message they have ever heard, and it's going to be through the actions you take in your life. And in that moment, it's my prayer that what you hear is, you know what? Sin is what makes us an outsider. But I know the remedy, because I was an outsider. And God's grace not only made me new, but showed me how that happened. And so now I understand that being part of God's family, being part of the church, is something that God expected and intended that everyone would have access to. Jesus died because God loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, see, we forget the whosoever. We translate whosoever into my people. The folk who down with me, my people, my squad, the folk I like. Come on, tell the truth. Is somebody on your mind right now that if the trumpet sounded and the sky cracked right now, we were all standing there and you saw them standing in line behind you, you'd be like, see, that's what I'm talking about right there. Now, God, you know that ain't even right. Still, no, God, he still owed me $20 and he ought not get in till I get my $20. Right? Tell the truth. You got that person in your mind right now. Boy, if we in line going to praise and worship and they tap you on the shoulder, it's like, Griff, you're like, ha! Man, this ain't even, am I in the right place? What is it? Right? Tell the truth. But Jesus died for them too. And you just happen to accept the grace first. Hear me. And so now your response to having had the grace extended and having accepted it in your life is to turn around and now go show them what love looks like. Love God, love people, serve the world. You can't love God and not do the other two. Stop it. You love yourself. This became your fire insurance, right? You were in it for self, and hear me, and I'm done. If you come to church, leave church, and live the other 6 days for you, I got to question your, all right? I got a question, because Jesus said, by this shall they know that you are my disciples. That you have love for one another. Not that you flossing, not that you got all the stuff that you wanted to get, not that you got the promotion, not that you can say praise the Lord, not that you sing, preach, or pray so well. By this shall men know you are my disciples. Watch the way you treat one another. Stop talking about you love God. I love God. Right? Stop that. You will be identified as somebody who loves God by the fruit that is manifest in your life, by the way you love other people. Period. So who's out there? Send them. Y'all don't want them at your church? Send them. They smell? Send them. They crazy? Send them. We can get some counselors. Some perfume and some soap. Listen, Jesus done washed everybody in here clean. We know how to get clean. But we can't be the place where we're telling people, I don't know about that one. I don't know. Yep, because watch this. And I want to be done, y'all. Watch. When we do that kind of stuff, we don't typically do it in church. We do it out there. And so I don't know Jesus the way you know Jesus. And so you supposed to be Miss Holy, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, fire baptized, saved all your life. And you keep telling me come to church with you. But every time I hear you talking, you talking about somebody. You talking them down as much as I talk. In fact, more. I'm going to other folks saying, she's supposed to be a pastor. Now, I don't even know what that is, but she called herself a pastor. And I want to come to church with you. I'm having better fun drinking and drugging. At least them folk, when they drink and at least when they high, if I'm mad at you, I'm just going to cuss you out and keep it moving. We going to fight, hug it out, and keep on going. It's over. You talking about me behind my back, and now I'm supposed to want to be part of what you're part of. How do I find healing there? Let's stand on our feet. If not, I swear I'm going to tell somebody to go get the board out of my office. We'd be in here for another 2 hours. We turn this into Bible study with the quickness. Listen. If you don't hear anything else that's been said today, hear this. The church is a perfect place filled with imperfect people who desire to be perfected by the perfect love from our perfect God. That means if this is the place that you've been looking for, that you want to come and ain't nobody ever going to say anything else ever to get on your nerves, wrong place. If this is the place where you're looking for somebody who can be the perfect role model, we can point you to him. But he's not standing in the room at the moment. But it is absolutely the place where we really desire to be able to say that we love God and show our love for God by loving you. That we absolutely believe that everybody has a Saul to Paul story. Meaning, I know some of you might right now still be in the depths of some kind of life situation that you have been trying to extricate yourself from for some time, and you've gone to counseling and you've read books and you've given up and you've tried it again, and now you're saying, what's next? Some of you have given church this Sunday morning another chance because you've been hurt by church. And you said, I'm done with that. So you were one who said, you know what? I am about relationship and not religion. I've given up on organized religion. I'll read my Bible and pray to my God. But I want to say to you this morning that all of us have a personal relationship with God, but we do not have a private one. And by that I mean we are called to be part of each other with all that comes with that, the good, the bad, and the ugly, because if we can't work it out. But I also want to say that God loves you. On your worst day, God loves you. And because God loves you, we love you.